Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are going to be in the book of Job today, so you can turn to Job 33. We'll be doing Job 33 and 34. I will pray. I will read through these chapters, maybe taking some pauses for devotional thoughts, ideas of application at the end, and then close in prayer. And I encourage you to read along with me, to think about these chapters, what God is trying to communicate to you through them, and how that will affect your life. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for the example of Job. I thank you for his story in this poetic literature. We get to see the stress, the distress in Job's life, and even with his friends who are kind of against him at this point, talking to him and judging him, and he's trying to wrestle with that and wrestle with what's going on with God. Lord, I thank you that we're able to see this, and I pray that you'll help me to be able to engage with this today. In Jesus' name, amen. Job 33. But now, Job, listen to my words. All right, so we are in the midst of a dialogue. This is Elihu beginning back in chapter 32. So 33:1. But now, Job, listen to my words. Pay attention to everything I say. I am about to open my mouth. My words are on the tip of my tongue. My words come from an upright heart. My lips sincerely speak what I know. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Answer me then if you can. Stand up and argue your case before me. I am the same as you in God's sight. I, too, am a piece of clay. No fear of me should alarm you, nor should my hand be heavy on you. But you have said in my hearing, I heard the very words, I am pure, I have done no wrong, I am clean and free from sin. Yet God has found fault with me. He considers me his enemy. He fastens my feet in shackles. He keeps close watch on all my paths. But I tell you, in this you are not right, for God is greater than any mortal. Why do you complain to him that he responds to no one's words? For God does speak, now one way, now another, though no one perceives it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings, to turn them from wrongdoing and keep them from pride, to preserve them from the pit, their lives from perishing by the sword. Or someone may be chastened on a bed of pain with constant distress in their bones, so that their body finds food repulsive and their soul loathes the choicest meal. Their flesh wastes away to nothing, and their bones, once hidden, now sticks out. They draw near to the pit, and their life to the messengers of death. Yet if there is an angel at their side, a messenger, one out of a thousand, sent to tell them how to be upright, and he is gracious to that person and says to God, spare them from going down to the pit, I have found a ransom for them. Let their flesh be renewed like a child's. Let them be restored as in the days of their youth. Then that person can pray to God and find favor with him. They will see God's face and shout for joy. He will restore them to full well-being. And they will go to others and say, I have sinned. I have perverted what is right, but I did not get what I deserved. God has delivered me from going down to the pit, and I shall live to enjoy the light of life. God does all these things to a person, twice, even three times, to turn them back from the pit, that the light of life may shine on them. Pay attention, Job, and listen to me. Be silent, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak up, for I want to vindicate you. But if not, then listen to me. Be silent, and I will teach you wisdom. All right, so Elihu is saying, Job, you've called yourself innocent, as though you've done nothing wrong, and you're upset with God about what's happened to you. And then he basically goes in to say, you know, if you confess your sins, then perhaps God will show mercy on you, and you will become better. Chapter 34. Then Elihu said, hear my words, you wise men. Listen to me, you men of learning. For the ear tests words as the tongue tastes food. Let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let us learn together what is good. Job says, I am innocent, but God denies me justice. Although I am right, I am considered a liar. Although I am guiltless, his arrow inflicts an incurable wound. Is there anyone like Job who drinks scorn like water? He keeps company with evildoers. He associates with the wicked, for he says there is no profit in trying to please God. Wow, so Take a pause there for a moment. Say, really, man, these accusations against Job, putting in him with the wicked, because he is struggling and mourning out of what is happening to him. Verse 10. So listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do evil, from the Almighty to do wrong. He repays everyone for what they have done. He brings on them what their conduct deserves. All right, take a pause there. So the basic idea that God judges those who do wrong and blesses those who do right, which is a very much of an Old Testament concept. It is part of who God is and how he decided to do things during certain days. He still does some of that, but it's not that cut and dry. But that's what they're doing with Job, saying, hey, listen, if Job must have done something really bad for this to happen to him. Verse 12, it is unthinkable that God would do wrong, that the Almighty would pervert justice. Who appointed him over the earth? Who put him in charge of the whole world? If it were his intention and he withdrew his spirit and breath, all humanity would perish together and mankind would return to the dust. If you have understanding, hear this. Listen to what I say. Can someone who hates justice govern? Will you condemn the just and the mighty one? Is he not the one who says to kings, you are worthless, and to nobles, you are wicked? Who shows no partiality to princes and does not favor the rich over the poor? For they are all the work of his hands. They die in an instant, in the middle of the night. The people are shaken and they pass away. All right, continuing here in chapter 34, into verse 20. The mighty are removed without human hand. His eyes are on the ways of mortals. He sees their every step. There is no deep shadow, no utter darkness where evildoers can hide. God has no need to examine people further, that they should come before him for judgment. Without inquiry, he shatters the mighty and sets up others in their place. Because he takes note of their deeds, he overthrows them in the night and they are crushed. He punishes them for their wickedness where everyone can see them, because they turned from following him and had no regard for any of his ways. Wow, again, Elihu is just pouring it on Job, basically saying, listen, if these things are happening to you, all these terrible things that God is allowing, he's doing this because you're wicked. That's just the way it is. Verse 28, they caused the cry of the poor to come before him so that he heard the cry of the needy. But if he remains silent, who can condemn him? If he hides his face, who can see him? Yet he is over individual and nation alike to keep the godless from ruling, from laying snares for the people. Suppose someone says to God, I am guilty but will offend no more. Teach me what I cannot see. If I have done wrong, I will not do so again. Should God then reward you on your terms when you refuse to repent? You must decide, not I. So tell me what you know. Men of understanding declare, wise men who hear me say to me, Job speaks without knowledge, his words lack insight. Oh, that Job might be tested to the utmost for answering like a wicked man. To his sin he adds rebellion. Scornfully he claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God. Wow. Okay, I have the advantage of hindsight here and knowing what happens in this story. And I could see, you know, I could see myself sometimes maybe thinking these kinds of things against those who seem to be struggling, who seem to be lashing out at God. And yet, here we are. We know Job's heart, according to God, is blameless. Job knows he has no unconfessed sins. He has done what is right before God, but God has still brought this pain on him, allowed him to go through this. But Elihu and his friends' only perspective is, must be wicked. God brings destruction on the wicked. Job is sinning. Job is lashing out at God. Job is an evildoer if he says these things. Wow. So what do we take away from this? Well, I think for me, two things come to mind as devotional takeaways. One is to not make myself into a judge, not to be God myself, not to say, I know why this is happening to certain people or not happening to certain people. Yes, I should listen to their words. I should help them and challenge them and instruct them. But I would hope that one of the things I would do in a case like Job's is, if there's no unconfessed sin and God is allowing this, to bring the rest of the scripture to light. Now, of course, his friends didn't have all the scripture at that time. But to bring all the other scripture to light, to know that there's other reasons why this pain might be happening, this trial, and be able to encourage him instead of lash out against him. And so I want to use that with people today who are struggling, to not make my own hasty judgments, but to listen to them, care for them, and instruct them as far as what the Word of God says about these things. And then the second thing is just for myself, to make sure my sins do not stay unconfessed, that I continue to stay right with God. And when accusations come and have come that are not right, or that look at my situation and think, well, maybe God is judging me, that I make sure that I take care of those things with God, that I listen to good counsel, but make sure that it's biblical, and make sure my heart is soft before God, my sins are confessed, and that I'm praising him for whatever he is allowing me to go through. So please think about these chapters in Job, consider them in prayer, and how they should affect your life today. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, it hurts me when I read these accusations against Job, because Job was in incredible pain at the time. And we know from you that he was doing right. Now, I know you're going to deal with his attitude later, but the way these guys were going after him, I know was not right, Lord. And I feel for him, and I feel for others who go through this kind of condemnation without really knowing what's going on. So, Lord, help me to be sensitive to people, to really find out the truth of things, and to use all of your word in counseling them and encouraging them. And Lord, for myself, that I would stay humble before you, and that I would not become full of pride, but instead, Lord, that I would continue to pursue you and listen to you over any other voices. And I thank you for that, Father. Help me to honor you throughout today. In Jesus' name, amen.